It's a story that's been repeated over and over and over again, but it's a story about Jenna. She was a good girl. She was raised in church in a good family. She was a leader in the youth group, nursed all the way through in her life by good parents, good Christian friendships. And she, like literally tens of thousands of others this fall in a few weeks, will go off to school, to college, to the big bad university. She will hear for the first time people in authority poke fun at her faith. She will hear for the first time people with academia lined up behind their names tell her that there is no room for science, for truth, for mathematics, and God. And for the first time in her life, Jenna will doubt. She's bathed in this every day, week after week, until spring break or summer break or any break, and she goes home. And she attends her church, and for some reason, the music's not quite the same. The sermon seems to be shallow, and she's kind of sanguine and sour and within herself. And her parents asked Jenna, "What's wrong?" And Jenna announced to her parents that she no longer believes like they do. And her parents are going to want to know what went wrong. There are an awful lot of people who believe that we can raise our kids in church, send them off to college, and they will lose their faith. I submit to you, if we teach our kids the truth, when they go anywhere from here, they will not only be able to stand, but they will be able to flourish. I am a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, because I am, above all other things, a seeker of truth. I am no fool. I will not, I refuse to believe anything, no matter how sentimental it is attached to my past, that is not true. I believe what Jesus said. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is Jesus. Hello? The Son of God. What does he say? I want you to be free. I want you to know the truth. God has revealed the truth to us. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes I learn the truth and I don't like what I've learned. Or some things God says I'm not for. But I'm not God. And I don't get to make the rules. Right? What God has done is he has created us as truth seekers. I mean, think about how God is. Yay, God. First, he created us ignorant. I mean, did you know your name when you were born? I doubt it. Don't even tell. Yeah, I knew my name. No, you didn't. You didn't even know who your parents were. They just hung around you long enough and you just assumed. You looked at your father and said, "Oh my God, please don't let me look like him when I grow up." You didn't know your name. They had to feed you, carry you. You had no teeth. And you were being taught. You have been taught. You have had teachers from the moment you breathe, because God created you ignorant so he could spend eternity filling up your soul and thrilling you as you've discovered truth. Second, God created is hungry. I mean, I've been eating every day since I've been alive. How about you? I eat every day. I know I look it, but sometimes I eat multiple times a day. I like food. Can anybody here like food? I have people say, "Well, I just eat to live." Then there are people say, "I live to eat." Why can't you do both? Amen. I'm hungry. Blessed are those, Jesus says, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is that? Just another word, other way of saying truth. For they will be filled. God created me ignorant so I could learn. He created me hungry and thirsty so every day I could get up to learn, to discover, to grow, to change. If I live to be 103, I can still learn something. Hello? that curiosity. You ever had a four-year-old in the Walmart? Mama can't have. I want that. What's that? Shut. What? Yeah. No. They'll wear you down. Can I hear it in a minute? They will wear you. You cannot survive. You do not take a four-year-old into Walmart by yourself. You need to be packing. That's just a little bit of how God, that curiosity. When you stop being curious, I can submit to you, you stop living. Christianity isn't about, don't go there. Don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. That's what we talked about last week. We are culture makers. We are not rebelling against culture. We are not withdrawing from culture. We engage it and make better culture. You see, we all need teachers, and we all need to be teachers and understand that as we learn, we have a responsibility before God to teach. Christianity, somebody said, I've heard more times than once, Christianity is better caught than taught. Well, if it can't be taught, why is it worth being caught? We have an emotional attachment to God with no underpinning of truth. What's that lead to? Disappointment. People are going to make fun of you if you believe in God. Grow up. Several years ago, some of you know, I was invited to the Good Morning America show and standing on top of 30 Rock and debating one of the leading atheists in the country. And I'm like, oh, I'm scared to death, until I met him. And you know what I found out about this atheist, whose name I will not mention? He's just a hurting dude like the rest of us. And he's doing what a lot of people do, and that is they define truth on the basis of where they've been hurt. We can all do that very easily. And I didn't come away looking at him like as the enemy. I came away looking at him like I do a lot of other people, the victim of the enemy. Because somewhere along the line, we are afraid of truth and we define God by our circumstances rather than defining our circumstances by what we know to be true about God. God created us seeking. Here's a deceptive verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Simple, clean, right? I mean, I ask, God gives. It's kind of like the fast food window at McDonald's. Hey, God, this is Dave. What? That's how God sounds sometimes, isn't it? I want an order of the good life with three passes on tragedy and a big car and, you know, a wife who lets me do anything I want. Nothing happens. You think that's funny, huh? Me too. That's not what it says. Here's what it says. Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, the door will open. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. Anyone who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And if you will knock and keep on knocking, the door will be. It means that you have to constantly engage God and go after this all the time. You're seeking, hungry, pushing, asking, right? This is how God created you. When you stop that, you stop growing and you stop becoming human and you stop becoming a teacher. That for which you were created. Here's another thing about the great way of how we were created. We were created by God to learn and grow. That's the great thing about it. I mean, when we physically, you know, about the first 20 years of our life? And then we spend, you know, we're basically, we grow up for the first 18, 20 years and we grow out the rest of the time. But here's a great thing. Whether you're 20, 34. So you can be young and smart, you just can't be young and be wise. And the only people who tweet me back and crucify me over that statement are young people. Thus proving my point. Do you want to know more and more of God's kindness and peace? Yeah. Then learn to know Him better. And you mean my relationship with God and knowledge of God isn't stagnant. Bingo. What you knew about God 5 years ought to pale in comparison to what you know about God today, because you've been walking with Him and experiencing Him and seeing how He intervenes and acts in the world. I know, for example, God will always do the most generous and loving thing in my life, no matter what the circumstances are. Now, He likes me. I'm not sure how He feels about some of you. But as for me, He likes me a lot. Seriously, He liked me enough to come down out of heaven and to die for my sins and to be a vicarious payment for my debt the justice of God could be satisfied and I could be adopted and set free. See, I believe all that stuff. And as I'm growing in my knowledge of God, I'm understanding life. Because if life came from God, then wouldn't it follow that knowing God is also knowing how to live? For as you know Him better, He will give you, through His great power, everything you need for living a truly good life. He even shares His own glory and His goodness with us. And by the same mighty power He has given us, all the other rich and wonderful blessings He promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and the rottenness all around us and to give us His own character. Yeah. I mean, what a good God. Yay, God. He created me ignorant, but He created me hungry. I can learn. I can grow. I can gauge the truth. I need never fear wherever I find it. So here's what I'm advocating during this series, Teachology. That you and I would become teachers. That we would teach truth. Amen? We're not teaching religion. We're not teaching superstition. We're teaching truth. We believe that all truth is God's truth. We fear no truth wherever we find it. Yay, God! And go to university, and I can hear truth, but I also hear a lot of lies. I also hear that a lot of lies in church. Right? There are a lot of con artists that call themselves Christians, as well as there are con artists who call themselves professor. Right? What separates them? Truth. Truth. We're seeking truth. We're truth seekers. And as we teach, see, if I live, I learn. I learn, I teach. I teach, I live forever. I live. I'm living and I'm engaging truth. I'm learning more about God, learning more about me, learning more about the people around me. One of the great things about walking with God and learning about God and having experience in the spiritual life is that you really, really, really come to a place where you're a lot more compassionate. Have you ever seen young Christians? They're great. They're on fire. I mean, they're fired up. I mean, it's great to see them burn. But they're stupid as a stick, right? Because, boy, they want to get everybody saved and everybody righteous and everybody right. They're the ones who send all these emails about all the YouTube videos about how the world's going to hell in a handbasket and we need to march on Washington. I used to look at those and just say, mercy! Now I say, bless their heart. This is how we do it in the South. If you are like someone we love, but you're obnoxious, we just say, bless your heart, right? Because we know one day you're going to learn. You hit your head against that wall about 7 times, and you're going to wake up and realize that you're not God. And it'll be a great day. You can't save God, nor do you have to. You can't save the world, nor do you have to. You can't save your family, nor do you have to. You can't save your husband, come on, ladies, nor do you have to. And you can't even save yourself, nor do you have to. And when you wake up to that, and that's good news, that God is here, He is not going anywhere, He's not in heaven mad as hell, but He is engaged. And He's engaging the world through us. And the best way He does it is when we teach, when we share truth, when we allow people to see into our lives that we are truth seekers just like they are. And we have found bread. We have found food and nourishment. I love what Paul said. He's speaking to a church, a young church at Corinth. It was a church that needed teaching. They needed guiding. They needed help. They were zealous in many ways, but their zeal had led them off into different error. And listen to what he says. Do not deceive yourself. This is 1 Corinthians 3. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks you're wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world out there, life, anything, anywhere about life, the arts, the humanities, science, mathematics, psychology, sociology, philosophy, any of the disciplines in life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours. In other words, what he's saying is this, is that God has given us the truth about the world, and it's all ours. If we find truth in science, that's God's truth, that's our truth. Amen? If we find truth in history, that's God's truth, that's our truth. We take that truth too. Where we find truth in mathematics, or find truth in the arts, or find truth in philosophy, or find truth in sociology, we take that truth and we embrace it. Right? So we don't fear truth. They're ours. He says, it's not just Paul's truth. It's not just Apollos. Apollos was the great orator who was kind of in competition with Paul because he was an amazing speaker. So he said, Paul, he said, whatever Paul had, it's yours. Whatever Apollos had, it's yours. Whatever Peter had, it's yours. Life, death, future, past, present, God says, it's all yours. And as we embrace the truth and teach the truth and share the truth, then all of us begin to grow up into God and live the lives for which we were created. This is how we live forever. We're not going to live forever in the buildings we build or the institutions that we organize. We're going to live forever in the lives and hearts of the people we've invested time teaching. Amen? I live, I learn. I learn, I teach. I teach, I live forever. So here are some characteristics about the truth that all truth seekers share. The truth is generous. Because God is generous. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. That's the idea of emphasis there. Free, free. Double free. Free in that I know God's truth. Free in I know God's redemptive truth. The truth is generous. The truth is gracious. The truth includes, for whosoever will may come, is the clarion call of the gospel. The truth is not proprietary, which means, this is good news, wake up, the Baptists don't own the truth. They think they do, but they don't, right? Pentecostals don't own the truth either. Nor do the Catholics, nor do the scientists, nor do the historians, nor do the philosophers. God is not jealous of the truth. Any of us, any truth there is, we can all have it. We can't own it. We can't keep it. It is generous. It's never going to run out. He gives life and freedom and truth and joy, and he creates the world God intended. Yay, God. Here's another thing about the truth. It is observable. It's really great. You know, I hope I can share this correctly. It's really great to be my age, be this far into this, and be absolutely as excited about God as I am. I have to be honest with you. There was a time God was boring to me. And I'm ashamed to tell you that it was in seminary. Not God's fault, not seminary's fault, my fault. I thought, what's the use of studying all of this? Theological history, Hebrew, textual criticism, Latin. Really? Do you want me to speak in Latin? I know a little Latin. And I didn't realize then that what I was learning in the academic world was what would be verified through the experience of the real world of pastoring and living with people and loving people and helping people. I've seen people throw good lives down a short toilet. And I've seen people come up out of the grave, almost literally, and be born again. I've seen some amazing things. And as I have observed life, you know what it's done for me? I'm just one guy. But it's verified all the truth I believe and I've learned from the scripture. It's observable. See, every way the Bible says we behave, and it said it thousands of millennia ago, we still behave, do we not? When the Bible says that jealousy is corrosive and corruptive and destroying, were people jealous way back then? Are they jealous now? Really? What does that tell you? That this is the truth, right? If the Bible says that a gossip can destroy more than an innovator can create in 10 years, did they gossip then? We don't gossip anymore because we're enlightened. We have Twitter. We have Facebook, right? People say, we ought to cut out that Facebook because people are finding people on there and it's promoting affairs. Listen, if you have skullduggery in your heart, it will find a way even if we outlawed Facebook. If you're a creep, you're a creep. Hello? Your creepdom may be hidden under a hood of not yet had the opportunity. I mean, the truth of the scripture is there, man. How can you deny this? The truth is also practical. I mean, all the way through the Bible, there's practical stuff. Used to be in all the practical business books, before we got so educated and smart and embarrassed, people used to quote the Bible. All the way through business, quoted the scripture. How to Win Friends, Influence People. Ever read that book? All the way through it, scripture, Christian principles. Why? Because we just realized, you know, I'm not sure it's because, you know, he was a great Christian. He just realized, hey, this stuff works. It's practical. The truth is reliable. I love this out of 1 Thessalonians. Test everything. Hold on to the good. You ought to test everything I say. Everything I say is true. You can trust me on that. I mean, you ought to test everything. Amen? There'd be a little bit of a skeptic in all of us to some degree. Is this true? Is this reliable? Is this observable? Is this, how about this? Is this transcendent? In other words, is it more than just right now? Does it last beyond just the moment, the now? If this truth that I'm learning, this truth that you're teaching me, will it, say, for example, last me when I'm dying? When I come to the last moment, the moment I won't be able to put off? Can I trust this? Listen to what Paul said. For me to live is Christ. In other words, he says, as long as I stay alive, I got good stuff. I got good news. I'm helping people start churches. Man, I'm helping people live the life we're here. I'm teaching the truth and preaching the truth, and good things are happening. People are being set free. Dreams are being dreamed and being achieved. Families are getting stronger. Marriages are growing. Kids are being loved and taught and led to God and fall in love with the truth. I mean, if I live, man, I am just an epidemic of good news. But if I die, I hate to even say it, to die is, you don't even want to say it, do you? Because you think God will take you up. Oh, you think dying is gain? Oh, yeah, you're dead. No. To die is gain? Really? I don't know, but I've never died. I'm just going to take God at his word. To die in Christ is gain. I'm sorry, what can be better? Okay, what can be better? Come on, guys. What can be better than baby back ribs and, you know, what can be better than a Harley on a sunny day with your woman on the back, amen, going down the interstate looking badass and cool. Badass is in the Bible somewhere. I mean, when I read that, I think when life is good, it is awesome. I don't know that I can think of anything over there any better. I mean, when I hear about eternity, here's what I'm sorry, but I'm trying to overcome my Baptist upbringing. Now, many things about my Baptist background I'm proud of. Taught me to love God, taught me to love the Bible, taught me to love my mom and dad. And that can't all be bad. Amen? But there's also some skullduggery in there. One of which is when I think about heaven, I think about choir robes. People in polyester singing sadly. I can't get excited about that. Wings. Seriously? How would I look in wings? And I've heard people say, heaven will be just praising God all day. Really? It's going to be church all the time? I've gone to church enough times to get into heaven just by virtue of my going to church. I think heaven is so much better than that. So much more than that. Seriously. That we just have to take God at His word. Paul is saying, trust me. Trust me. You don't want to go because you got to die to get there. But once you do, and once you're there, you're going to thank me. You're going to say, Paul, why didn't you tell me? Right? We don't want to die. You know why? Because God gave us a desire to live. Yay, God. To live and to grow and to change and to be important and significant in this world. Truth is not only reliable, it's transcendent. Truth is also timely and timeless. I love David's life verse, David the king. Acts 13:30, this is my life verse. And David served God's purpose in his generation, and he died. That's a prescription for a great life. God's purpose, timeless in his generation. MacBook Pro. Right? iPhone, Android, whatever. I mean, it was timeless and timely. It doesn't get out of date. So as I'm developing the heart of a teacher, and I'm sharing, I'm making culture by making better culture, I'm teaching truth and extending truth, I can do it with great confidence because I know it is both timely in what you need right now and timeless in what you're going to need forever. And here's the last part. Truth is transforming. If truth doesn't transform your life in some way, is it truth? I remembered when I learned that I was loved like I am, not like I ought to be. When I learned that all I had to do was bow my heart and say yes to Jesus Christ, and I would be adopted into God's family and never, ever, ever be in fear and danger of losing my relationship. That God's grace was greater than all of my sin. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. When I learned all of these truths, it has transformed me. And I went in and told my mom and dad. Boy, they were excited. I went and told my mom and dad, Paula led me to Christ, the girl I met in the third grade. And she led me to Christ when I was a Baptist, and that's complicating. So I went to my mom and dad, and I said, Mom, I'm a Christian. And they said, well, okay. I said, no, I mean, I've been saved. They said, we know. I said, no, I mean, I've been changed. And they finally said, how can you become a Christian? You're a Baptist. God bless them. I did it poorly. I can just tell you right now I did. It's like anything you're excited about, you don't do it very well. Now they said, "Well, you're a member of the church. You've been baptized. We taught you. We raised you to be a good guy, and you know we try and all of that." I couldn't tell them that something had happened. All they thought was, "Is this girl, this Pentecostal fundamentalist Jezebel?" Had stolen their son and hijacked him, and now he was religious. He was a Jesus freak. My mother said to me before they asked me to leave, "This is just a phase he's going through, Welton. Don't worry about it." And you know what? I totally get that. That's how I was. And some degree is how I still am. I understood. Now that as I look back in time, I understand why my mother and father were so upset. What I awkwardly did then is try to tell them that the truth that you, mom and dad, have tried to get me to see, I get it. Why couldn't I have just said that? It transformed my life. If the truth hasn't transformed you, I submit, what good is it? If it doesn't set you free to live a better, bigger, fuller life, who has it helped? If your truth just makes you a narrow-minded bigot, is that truth? Is that God's truth? So here's what I ask you as we close. You are a Christian. Are you excited? Are you fired? Yeah, I know your life is a mess, and I know that you need a job. And yeah, I know all this stuff. Trust me, I know all this stuff. I'm just asking you, when you get up every day, are you able to say, "Yay, God, here we go"? And if you can't, why not? If you can't be an enthusiastic teacher, you can't have the heart of a teacher and a learner, then let's ask God to give that back to you and make you interesting again. Because if nothing else, you can be enthusiastic. A bumblebee. 98% enthusiasm, 2% sting. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that we wouldn't just know the truth, this dry academic, but that we would know the truth, that we would know it in our hearts and souls, that we would live it, that it would be transforming in our lives. God, raise us above the level of the pettiness of religion and help us to see this big world, a big world where God reigns, a big world where God's truth holds it all together. Let us step into dark places and shine light. Let us step into places that have long since lost their flavor and be salt. Let us be the lovers and the lifters of our culture. Let us be the teachers, the truth seekers that lead people to the freedom that Christ alone offers. And I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you.